Hey everyone, welcome to the Racing Writers Podcast. I'm your host, Kelly Crandall. My guest today is one of the greatest to ever sit behind the wheel in the NHRA. It's 8-time Top Fuel champion Tony Schumacher, the Sarge of Don Schumacher Racing. 8 titles, as I said, 85 wins. He's also the winningest driver in competition. And Tony is here on the podcast today to talk about what it's like to be back behind the wheel. If you don't know, Tony last ran a full season in 2018, back when he was still driving that iconic Army machine. But when the sponsorship went away, Tony was left without a ride, as often happens in racing. He got to run a few races in 2020, in fact, won a race, number 85. But other than that, he's been on the sidelines until this year when the Maynard family threw their support behind Tony Schumacher to get him back in competition, and the Sarge is back full-time lighting it up in Top Fuel. We're going to talk all about that, what it's like to be back, how it feels different, just being blessed to have an opportunity to race again, to add to his wins, and what he thinks this team can do. It's a new team. You're going to hear about that as well. New team, single car team, new crew chief, a lot of new challenges for Tony this year. We talk about that as well as what it was like to have the sport go on without you. Tony, of course, understood that, but he had a really interesting perspective on being able to find ways to spend his time when he wasn't racing. We're also going to get to know him a little bit better away from the racetrack. We have some fun conversations about guitar playing, hotel pillows, growing his own peppers, and so much more. I hope you enjoyed as much as I did. Tony Schumacher, what a legend, a goat. Don't judge a book by its cover. Because this guy might look big and tough, and he is, to drive a Top Fuel dragster, but he's also a great conversation and a great personality. Here he is, Tony Schumacher, on the Racing Writers Podcast. Tony, all right, how are you, by the way? We're coming off of 4 wides at Charlotte as we talk. So first off, how are you? And then if you just want to kind of assess how the season's been for you guys.
Well, if you don't look at the numbers, fine. I'm doing great. You know, I'm like ecstatic to be back driving. You forget after a year, you forget, you know, how much you just love it. And I keep telling everyone the same thing. We'll get the car fixed and we'll get it running right, but I still get to drive a race. I mean, last week I got beat. 4 cars all made 375, 374, 374, 373. I mean, who gets to do that? You know, we're the marquee matchup. And we didn't make it down the track kind of all weekend. So we finally stepped up on that last run. And had we done that earlier, maybe we go out and win around. But still, driving a race car. And more than that, building a new team. You know, people forget about all that. It's not the 6 minutes a year where you're under power in a race car. It's all the little details. You know, putting the right people in the right jobs and going to work and watching them smile. You know, new guys. Some of these guys never worked on a race car before. I mean, it's pretty cool to see Todd O'Hara and Mark and them guys building a team from pretty much scratch. Some guys have raced before. Some guys have worked on a car. You know, Chuck, our clutch guy, has been doing it. There's some guys that have done it, but it's a very, very new team. So to see them go out and win rounds, it's just awesome.
New team, single car team. You mentioned Todd, your crew chief. I don't believe you've worked with him before, and all the new guys and everything. This seems like it's a new challenge for you, but the way you just talked about it, it seems like you're enjoying it.
Well, no doubt about it. I mean, there's always a new challenge, you know, and I think if you've ever been around me, I've always done speeches for the Army, 200 a year. And I said, don't use the word problem, because that's really a nonsense word. People come up to me all the time, oh my God, we got a problem. I go, really? Is it? I mean, in 3 days, it's like it'll never have existed. It's a situation we got to deal with. It's not a problem, you know. Problems are big, big deals, you know, like something that we're not going to see at a drag race unless a car's upside down on fire. That's a problem. But more than likely, it's just something we got to work through. And I think this is one of those things. It's important that we recognize racing is difficult. It's important that we recognize the teams that we're racing are going to be great. The parts they're using are going to be spectacular, and then we're going to have to rise up and meet them there. And that's something that you just got to learn. You know, you learn by doing it over and over, calm, cool, and just chill.
Yeah. You said it, you're excited to be back racing. And I know you've been asked about that a ton. This is your first full season since 2018. Does it just feel different? Not just in the sense that you're excited and glad to be back, but when you have that time off and you don't get to do it, does it just feel different these first few months?
If I didn't get to race 2 years ago for those 9 races, it probably would. But it, you know, that was just a gift to be able to get a reminder at that point. But I'll tell you what, after taking a year off and getting in the car the first time when they started that thing, and I was sitting in there the first time after, because I'd done it for 25 years straight.
Yeah.
You know, but when I sat in there the first time they warmed it up, I thought, this is a stupid car. This thing's scary, you know? And then you do the burnout and you back up and your muscle memory does everything and you just go right down the racetrack. But it's funny when you're sitting in there, you're like, do I really want to do this? This is loud, man, you know, and the fans that watch, they're funny too, because they'll ask all the time, like, dude, what's it like? It's like, well, it's impossible to explain, is what it is. You know, it's so fast and so ruthless. It's impossible to, how can you possibly, what words could, you know, if I tell you it's like being in the space shuttle, does that help? Have you ever been in the space shuttle? I mean, and I'd be guessing, I haven't either. So it's just ludicrous speed, and ludicrous speed built by 9 people and probably hundreds of people, because someone built the tires that I never met and the wing that I never met. And, you know, all these people I've never met built something, shipped it to us. And then 9 guys evaluated, put it on the car. And we got to do this stuff within 20 or 30 minutes. You know, we go out and make a run. We come back and, you know, airplane lands, they look at it. You know, they look at it. A space shuttle comes down and they go, okay, let's take this thing apart, glance at it. My car, apart, together, and they look at me in the car and they go, okay, here we go. And that's what I get, you know, and you got to have so much good faith in the guys that do that job for you to go and hit the gas, because this car is scary, man. You know, it's got nothing but, you know, bad intent for you, man. And you got to do it.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I wanted to ask about when you're away, and you mentioned it, you've got to do a couple one-offs and whatnot, but when you're away from it after 25 straight years, the next time you get back into it, is that also kind of a shock to the system of just remembering that sensation of speed?
Yes, but I had thousands of laps, you know, right. So many. I hit it and I was like, huh, okay, got to catch up. And I'll tell you the truth, I told myself that it's kind of like golf to me. Like, I'm not very good at golf other than that. When you're away for a year, you come back out and you swing clubs, I usually do better. Because I forget the 6 worst things that I, you know, and I just took a natural swing. And I told myself, wow, I just forgot some bad habits I had here. Because we went out and won in 5 races, you know. Yes. And I thought, mark down and think about the 5 most important things. We do the burnout. What are the 5 most important things that are going to make this car go down the racetrack straight, consistently, and that the crew chiefs can be able to look at and go, that helps more than it hurts me to know this. You know, I think it's important, because you get out of a car, you got to be able to, because of our time, you got to be able to explain what you thought happened, what it felt like, you know, and if your mind's 2 seconds behind it, it's a little harder to do that. So it takes those runs to catch back up and go, okay, you know, now I get out of the car and I'll go at 60 feet, it hazes the tires. And they go, there's no way you know that. And then they look on the screen and they go, are you kidding me? That's the stuff you got to get caught back up to, because your brain, you know, after thousands of laps, you can feel that stuff. After a year off, you got to catch back up.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got to shake the cobwebs off. But after that, the muscle memory seems to come back really quick.
Yeah. And you know, the truth is, we're always going to go straight, because I have a fear of hitting the wall. I mean, people are like, how come you can go so straight? I don't want to die. I mean, simple. I hit the gas and everything about my body tells me to want to go straight. There's a car in the other lane. There's a wall on the side. So, you know, that part we're going to figure out quick. It's doing it correctly. So when you get out of the car, the crew chief can go, you did it the same again and again. So I can tune the car off of what really is happening, not sporadic driving. It's important. People don't get that stuff. You know, all we hear about is, oh, this young driver, look how quick he is on the tree. It's nonsense. And I'm good for, that's great. That's a small part of drag racing. I mean, it's the first foot, but there's so much after that. And people never talk about all that stuff, because honestly, people probably don't know much about it. The problem is keeping the car straight. Like, not unsettling a car that's making 12,000 horsepower that wants to drive the back around the front. You know, every time you make a little move, no matter what it is, it's putting the weight on the other side every time you do it. So the smaller movements and the more movements and the calmer and the less you have to shift that car, the straighter it goes.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought all that up, because the more that I've learned about drag racing over the years, I mean, that's one of the things that stands out is, okay, it's easy to watch on TV and say they're going straight, but what you're physically going through and all that you have to do trying to get that car straight down the track is unbelievable. And it's just, from what I've learned, it's just violent. It's so violent trying to do that.
And you got a live axle. If you've ever seen our rear end, you know, the two wheels are going to spin at the same time. So if they're spinning and you're yanking that car all over trying to move it, every time you yank it, if the right tire gets in the gravel, it's going to turn because the left tire is driving the car and the right tire is spinning in those marbles. So making that car go where you want it to go, and you got to go where you want it to go. You know, some drivers just follow the car, and that's the truth. You know? They're half a second behind it. Wherever the car goes, they just go for the ride. There's a rider and a driver. There's definitely different people when you're out there. You can say, does that guy know how to drive a car and put it where it needs to be to go down this particular racetrack that may have all kinds of problems going down the track, but bumps and grooves and this and that. Can you get around that stuff and do it? You know, I'll tell you, the only difficult track I've ever encountered is the ones that we race on that are straight, because, you know, like, it's hard. It's 1,000 feet. Think about this. I can see my goal. I'm at the starting line. I can see the finish line. I can see 40,000 fans waving at me and taking photos and all the cameras from Fox all around me. And all I got to do to be the champ is get that 1,000 feet before the dude next to me. Think about how hard that is. You know, I mean, it's like, and I know the races are going to be dictated by inches. Two cowboys, you know, with different teams, and you got to get just 1,000 feet. And the more you drive left and right, the longer that track gets. These tracks don't have chicanes for a reason. We're supposed to go straight.
I love that. You mentioned there about bad habits. Have you forgotten, hopefully, some bad habits? And I don't want to make you think about them too much, because I don't want you to bring them back. But when you go away, you're able to forget some things, right?
I think so. I think you remember some too. You know, you get in the car and you tend to do exactly what you did, and then I think the best thing I did was just say, here are the 5 things to focus on. You know, one thing I learned, I don't remember, back in college, you know, teacher said, if you focus on the stuff you know, right, and when you walk into a test, not the stuff you don't know. If you start putting your head, there's a lot of stuff I don't know, you're already beat. You know, I'm going to that track, I know how to stage a car. I'm going to focus on the little things, and I don't have to think, also steer it straight, because my body's going to do that. So eliminate all those thoughts that just take up space in your brain. You know, stage the car smooth, brake pressure where you want it, you know, throttle pedal exactly where you want it, left foot braced how you want it, sitting up in the seat how you want it. Remember the things you don't need to think about. Remember to get the chutes out on time, because that's way down there. That's not going to help the car at all on the start line. So you focus on the things that you need to win these races, and the things that are going to help the crew. Crew doesn't care where I pull the parachutes. They care that my brake pressure is right, that I'm not bouncing the car, that I'm stage straight, all those little things that help.
So Tony, 25 years straight, as you said, 85 wins, 8 championships. And then unfortunately the money goes away, the sponsorship. So now you can't do it. How hard is it when that day comes, when, again, 25 straight years, this is what you've given your life to, and suddenly the sport, it moves on without you, and you've got to find something else to do for the time being?
You know, it's funny though, I needed to build a business. You know, I needed to do something different, and I never in my life thought the racing was going to stop when I left. I've heard a lot of drivers, oh man, if we're not there, you know, what's going to happen? Still going to race. I mean, get that ego part right out. I mean, there's nothing there. Like, it's been going on a lot, you know, way before me, and it's going to go on way after me. And I'm just here for the ride in the middle, and I hope I get to do my part, build the sport a little bit, and get some fans out there, and we all have a great time. And I think, you know, it's real easy to think you're, you know, a superstar because people want an autograph. The truth is, I still go to the mall. I don't get mauled at the mall, you know. every now and then someone will come up and go, hey, dude, good job last week, or way to get your ass kicked. You know, I mean, it's just that, you know, it's just, it, let it be that, let it be a gift that we get to do what we absolutely love to do, you know, and that's it, you know. And I did need to build a business. You know, it's always one of those things. What are you going to do after? I don't want to run a race. I don't want to sit out there and watch other people drive and be frustrated to death, you know, when they're doing it right and wrong. And I just wanted, so I started a little business and built that into something that'll be great forever, you know. And when you're out there racing, I got to enjoy my kids for a year. You know, I got to enjoy my, I was gone for a long time, missed every birthday. Luckily, I was there for their births. That was lucky, you know. And then I was gone 250 days a year for the next ever. So it was okay to watch my kids grow up a little bit.
Yeah. I was going to ask what you did in your time away, but you just said right there, spent time with the kids and built a business. So it worked out.
Yeah, it was just things I had to do because, you know, racing doesn't last forever. And I hope I do another 10, 15 years. And you know, I looked last week and it was great, man. John Force, Salinas, it literally looked like the Medicare line, you know. And I thought, this is fantastic because I'm going to be there soon and I want that line to, you know. Because, you know, my dad's always like, oh, no one wants an older driver. I'm like, really? Let's take a look at who the number one guy is, John Force. And who used to be, you know, I mean, Eddie Hill, Amato, Bernstein. Come on. You know, look at the people racing now. It's funny when you hear that because you think, all right, we got a couple new drivers out there that are young and talk about how, oh, the sport needs young drivers. Of course we do. Because the old ones, we get old. But the sport goes on without the young drivers. Yeah, you go over and look at the young drivers, there's no one in line. You know why? Because they haven't heard of them yet. You got to be there 5 or 10 years before you've won enough stuff where people go, I'd like that guy's autograph. Not just because they saw you on TV, you know? I mean, it's like you earn, you know, 85 wins get you people in line, but hundreds of losses it took to get those 85 wins. And people ask, you know, what races do you remember the most? And well, I remember the last time I won, because it was just last, you know, year, and I beat a Torrance. I beat two Torrances, and I remember my first win, and I remember a couple Indy wins, but I don't remember 85 wins, I can tell you that. I do, however, remember some losses, because those really suck, and it's the most important part about racing is to recognize that winning and losing pay different, right? Okay, they just do, right? If you're really good at your job, you get paid more. That's how it works, right? So, you know, I spent all that time doing speeches to kids, trying to remind them that get an A on the test. It makes a difference. You know, when you come to get a job, being able to do it well pays better. You know, and we keep telling these kids they all win trophies. It's terrifying. Because at some point, you know, like they're going to look upstairs and go, wait a minute, where are all the trophies I was supposed to have? If that's the truth, I should have thousands of trophies up there. I got 85. And they were harder, most of them.
I love the fact that it doesn't matter whether it's an NHRA driver or a NASCAR driver. Drivers always remember the ones that got away more so than counting the ones that they've got.
Absolutely. And no doubt. I mean, some of them were just devastating. You know what I mean? You think to yourself, if I only, or if I could have, but the truth is I did my best on those. And very few of them, at least the ones that I remember, you know, very few of them did I leave anything on the table. You know, I can't think of where I would have grabbed another little bit out of anything. There are just other good drivers and they are going to beat you, you know, and at the end of the day, it's a timing. Last week is a perfect example. I run a 375. I get beat by a 374, 374, 373. All of the other quads, I would have moved on except that one. You know, it's time, right? I had a decent light. It wasn't great. I could have had a better light. If I had my light from last week, I win the race. It's just timing, you know, and I've had a whole lot of great timings, a whole lot of unbelievable moments.
Well, the opportunity to add to that, the opportunity to once again have the chance to add to those 85 wins, that has to just fill you with so much gratitude again that you get to come back and you can hopefully do it for another couple of years and add to that record.
Absolutely. And I plan on it. 1,000%. We will win. Our team is like our team and our parts and pieces are great. They're figuring out some things, you know, the adversity part, getting through it, no big deal. But I still get to drive. And that's when people go, oh, you should quit when you're on top. And I go, why? I love driving. I don't care what, like, I just love being in that race car, looking up and seeing people. I mean, if I never won again, it'd be unfortunate, and I don't plan on that, but I still get to sit in a race car, and I get to make kids happy on Saturday, Sunday, and, you know, Friday, right? I mean, they come out, and they go, this is the best. We're so glad you're back, and thank you, you know, and I love it. I love being there. It makes me smile, you know, and it's not the Army deal. The Army deal was a huge amount of work. I was in every, I was all over the place in every base, jumped out of planes, driven tanks, all that stuff. This is a little different now. The Maynards, you know, they have charities. We're doing different events like that. Skag Mowers, we're out, you know, doing different ma and pa shops. I get to meet people that are just different. They're regular old people. It's cool. And it's just a different thing. And it's, and because it's the first year, it's new to all of them. So it's exciting as heck. Everyone's like, this is the greatest thing in the world. And we will win for them. We do that. We get to send them trophies out to those ma and pa shops. It's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, you had said in the announcement of coming back this year that you wanted to make sure if you came back in a full-time situation, that it was one where you can win races and win championships. So early on in this season, you've already noticed from your team that you are capable of doing that.
I wouldn't have shown up if these guys didn't know what they were doing. Or that's not true. I wouldn't have shown up if I didn't see that I could build them into people that know what they're doing, right? Then that doesn't come from me. I can't even put oil in a car. That's not, I mean, hire the right guy who can hire the next right guy who, when you start working together, you smile. You know, like when people go out and get beat, some drivers get out, whip stuff and, you know, blame everybody. I'm absolutely opposite of that. I get out and say, could I have done better there? Like, tell me. And that makes the team go, wow. He didn't just push the blame off on us. It's together, and it's together, together, together. And ultimately, that builds people. They work more hours. They show up on days off because they want to win as bad as me because they're excited. And I think I'm seeing it from each and every one of those guys. So it's going to be just freaking awesome when they get that win. And it's coming. And it's coming soon.
Yeah. I like what you said there. Oh, sorry. I like what you said there about wouldn't have come back if you couldn't have built them into that. And so that's something you enjoy doing is not just necessarily showing up and racing. You like being intimately involved in helping your team grow and make people the best that they can be.
Absolutely. And I don't work on the car. It doesn't have to be that thing. It's leading just through, you know, being who you are, you know, and a positive driver. And I think for sure, you know, if I were to look back on I don't know how many races I've lost. There's a reason for each one of them. You know, I mean, 25 years, 24 races, right? There's a reason for each loss, whether it was me being late on the light, driving out of the groove, them smoking the tires, car too aggressive, millions of different things. If you sit and pick on somebody, you couldn't live this kind of a life. This is a team effort. There is one way to win and thousands of ways to get beat. And we just dig and work hard over and over again. So I love that part of it. I love watching the guys. If you watched my team, this team, when we did warmups, you'd have sworn to God we'd never make it the second round because they didn't know how to get, it took 2 hours to get the oil out of there. They were just new. You know, and they were stepping on each other and it takes just tons of time to figure out how to step through someone without hurting them and get something done quicker, little quicker, little quicker, little quicker. Now these guys are ready to rock and roll. I think that was God's way of saying, don't get to the finals yet. You'll all kill each other. You know, wait till you're ready. But now we're ready. All right, God, we're ready. Let's go.
The overall vibe and feel of being back at the racetrack, being in the pits, you kind of touched on it a few minutes ago of just how great it is, people coming up saying they love having you back and whatnot. What has that been like, just being back in the pits, the vibe of just being back in this community? And again, it seems like just drag racing in general right now, the NHRA has a ton of momentum and attention. What's it like just being back in the middle of all that?
Well, anything I say will come across egotistical. You stand out at the ropes. It's simply unbelievable how many people come up and go, thank God you're back. Because, you know, for 2 years, I didn't hear from anybody. And it's not that the fans don't know how to get a hold of you. But I mean, you know, like it was like, does anyone care at all? I'm happy being in my pool, working on a new business. But, you know, now you're back and they're like, this is a great thing. And the more you hear that, the more you go, wow, I had no idea. I really didn't. I feel truly blessed listening to it. But again, me saying it, it's kind of like when you hear a driver say that, you know, they're lethal on the start line. It's like, maybe you're better off to have someone else say that. See, that's the thing, right? We're all good drivers, you know, and we have popularity about us, each one of us. But the number, like my wife, Summer, she sits there and she goes, I can't believe it. Every single person comes up and goes, thank God you're back. Welcome back. Thank God you're back. We had guys last week in the trailer next to us working on a car come over and say, thank God you're back. You helped the sport. And I think I just feel truly blessed that people feel that way because, yeah. You know, they coming over going, man, it was so nice when you were gone. We're an asshole. You know what I mean? Right. But they're not. They're coming over. I mean, maybe some are, but they're not telling me. But it's cool. And the other teams literally are like, thank you for coming back. You helped the sport. You're bringing people into the stands. You know, that makes me feel really good. I would have always thought I spend more time at the rope signing autographs and taking photos with kids. I would like to think that that has helped the sport, but you don't really know until people come up and tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things where it's just nice to hear it and get that reassurance that you, yeah. So Tony, again, last full season was 2018. You ran a couple of one-off races here and there over the last couple of years. But when you're home and you're not racing and the first year goes by and then the second year goes by and the third year goes by, do you ever start to wonder, is it going to happen again? Am I going to get that chance again? Or do I need to kind of start living with the fact that maybe it's not going to happen for me again, meaning another full-time season?
Yeah, for sure. You know, there's lots of times when you go, I don't know. I don't know if people are even working on putting me in a car. And that was the thing, you know, we had so many cars out there. I'm like, you know, are we trying to put me in a car or are we just sending all the money to the other cars that we already have? Do I need to start looking at a different team? I mean, I never once called another, I could have done that and said, hey, you know, Connie, you know, I'd love to drive a car for you. I can find some, just tell me what I need, but I wouldn't do that. And I've driven for my dad since day one. Well, after the Peak Brothers, since I got in that car, I've driven that car. And I something about loyalty there, you know. But, you know, you get to that point where you're like, if you have no interest in putting me in another car, which he always said he did, he was always looking. I just said, if I don't see that, if I don't see effort, you know, do I have to go out there? Because, you know, there's a lot of drivers out there that hop in cars all the time. You know, if I would have put my hand up and said, hey, guys, I am now a free agent, I probably would have been in a car. It just wasn't what I was trying to do. Hop in someone else's car and just make some random runs. On the other hand, you know, you don't want to be out so long. I was a gift to come back last year, be able to go 9 races, win Houston. You know, the car, that car got better and better and better and better. And that was just wild to be able to go out of your home, you know, basically your home track. Both Dallas and Houston really are my home tracks. I'm in Austin, so I'm kind of dead in the middle.
There you go. Have you thought about, Tony, what it will be like to have a big moment again and not necessarily winning, but the opposite? Like, have you thought about what it'll be like your body to go through having maybe a blow up or something big happen? Because every driver is going to have one at some point.
Oh, I've had several and I'm in better shape than I've been in a long time. But I don't think I've ever been in as good a shape as I've been. My wife makes me work out all the time. You know, she's like, get to the gym, work out. Cause she knows that too. You know, I'm 52 now. So, you know, but look at Forrest's hats. We all have crashes. And explosions happen all the time. You know, our cars, I think our canopy car is the safest thing on the planet. Almost gives you that false sense of security. You know, you still can get hurt in these cars. You're going 330 miles an hour and it's not the speed that kills you. It's the what? Stop. You know, and when, so I keep in shape. I keep mentally, physically prepared. And you know, if something happens, we're all going to die. And I tell kids that all the time. I get so tired. Well, what happens if you die? We're going to die no matter what. We get 100 years, man. You know, some of us live 100 years real well. Some live 50 years real well. Some live it poorly. And I said, but I don't want to be this 95 years old laying in bed dying of nothing. I'm going to come sliding in all broken and burnt up going, hell yeah, what a ride. That's how the game is played. But that's my personality, yeah. You know?
I love it. The good thing and the cool thing about you coming back this year is there's a lot of talk about the depth of the top fuel class this year. Have you noticed that? It seems like there's just a ton of drivers and teams that can go out there and make it interesting every week.
It's fantastic. I just, all year is going to be throw down. Every race we go to is just cutthroat, nasty, put on your big boy pants. And the fans, every race are going, this is the best. Look at the stands are filling out. We needed this. And we needed it because they're the kings of the sport. I mean, top fuel funny car, same thing, right? But we need enough cars with enough people going out there that we can fill those stands. And people were sick of sitting at home with masks. And, you know, this is just rock star stuff now because it's getting people out that have never been out. I ask all the time, how many had never been to a race? And hands go up all the time. So these get, you know, people that were stuck at home for the last 2 or 3 years are getting out, trying new things, and they're loving this. They're loving it. So let's keep those stands full.
Yeah. You mentioned your dad a minute ago. I wanted to bring him up too, because he's obviously the team owner. You drive for him. How does that relationship work? Does it stay father, son? Does it stay car owner and driver, or is there a mix of everything in there?
That's a mix of everything. You know, when I'm winning, I'm a real cool son. And when I lose, I'm just got to get my act together. You know how it is. We eat together. You know what I mean? So, you know, there's no free time. You know, you can't be like, how's your fishing trip? You go, who cares? You're working on your lights. You know, it's one of those things. I'm working on my lights. You working on paying the bills? I mean, you know, it's business, man. It's just all the same thing. We're always trying because we've done it together forever, you know, and we've been a big team. And I'll tell you, I love this one car team. I don't mind a two car team, but it never helped me being an eight car team. It just diluted the whole to me. It diluted a lot of stuff. And I understand he, you know, that's his part of the business, how he makes his money. And he does a hell of a job, man, putting good people together and winning races. But for me, just as I'm happy in one car, two cars, it doesn't matter. You know, when Antron had his car, or Leah or Spencer or Corey, none of them won the race and bought me dinner. You know what I mean? Like, we're friends, but it didn't pay my bills for one of our team cars to go out and win the race. So it was just another good car competing against. So whether they're on our team or buying our parts, racing against us, Antron's Antron, you know? Leah's Leah. It's all the same game.
Right. I have some personality questions for you, Tony, because you know, that's always fun. I like to do that here on the podcast. And you mentioned you've got a personality. I've heard, so this is all stuff that I've heard. So I got to fact check here. Okay. I've heard You're a big guitar player and you like bringing that to the races and you'll pull it out for anybody to entertain.
Well, I bring a guitar for a couple of reasons. A, we work for 6 minutes a year. Again, I get a lot of time to pick a guitar, but also because rock stars come out to the races and it's nice to get it signed. Right. You get it signed, you get Sammy Hagar will come out and sign it, the drummer for Iron Maiden, you get this guy, that guy. It's kind of cool because they're race fans. Remember that song, Limelight? Like, all the world's indeed a stage. We are merely players, right? Performers and portrayers, each another's audience. All the rock stars, baseball player, football player. We had basketball guys last week. They come to the drag race and we turn around, we buy their tickets. It's just another place to get some shock and awe and be entertained. So I bring a guitar so I can play it, learn a little bit. And it's hard. I found it was just hard to leave my guitars at home and then come back every 2 weeks and remember what I learned. So I just carry one. I've had that same one on the guitar. It ain't no Willie Nelson guitar. It's just an old Alvarez, you know, thing I picked up at a pawn shop somewhere, but it works good, you know, plays. Yeah. And my fingers don't have to get raw every time I come home.
I've also heard that you'll travel with your own pillow because you, quote, don't trust hotel pillows.
For your neck, man, you know, you gotta stay in shape. You wake up with a bad one of them little pillows. I don't even have to tell you. Everyone knows you get to some hotels and the pillows just don't work. And then you got to get up and drive the next day and you haven't slept. So I bring my own pillow because it's good. I bring, you know, I carry in my trailer the necessities of life, the important things.
The important things too is also eating well and enjoying food. And I've heard that you're a gardener and you enjoy growing your own peppers. Is that true?
I love growing my own peppers. I got a beautiful pepper plant outside. I got habaneros, chili pepper. I got all kinds of peppers out there. And I got tomatoes too. You got to put the tomatoes right by the chili peppers because they get a nice little spice in the tomatoes. I don't know why. I'm not an engineer, you know, but I know if you put them close together, they kind of wash off on each other. So, but you know, hey man, again, come home. I live in Austin, Texas. It's peaceful time, you know, go out there and make sure your plants are looking good. Plus it keeps my kids in line. I go out there and tell them, water my stuff, makes them get up sometime before 3 in the afternoon, you know, water the plants, do a little bit of that stuff and try to keep something alive.
How do you even get into gardening? How does that come about and getting a green thumb like that?
We've got an awesome piece of land and the backyard sees sun from like 9 in the morning till 6 at night. And I'm like, man, we got to build right here in this one spot. We got to build above ground, like a beautiful little above ground pepper plant. We grow tomatoes, cucumbers, like this stuff grows nuts out here. So I don't know. I just wanted to see if I could keep something alive, you know, like, but the peppers, you got to water them, but man, them things, if you're gone for a few days, they can maintain. And I love pepper. I mean, put peppers in everything I do. So if I got to buy them, I might as well grow them.
Work smarter, not harder, right?
A botanist.
All right. One last question. And it comes from the fact that, listen, you've got a great nickname. Everybody knows Tony Schumacher by his nickname, the Sarge. That has just stuck over the years. But I've got to know, do you get grief nowadays because you're not driving the Army car anymore? So do you get grief about that nickname of still being the Sarge?
Absolutely not. I wasn't sure because, you know, the car in 2000, when we brought the Army car out, the car was the Sarge. And then people just called me the Sarge, you know. And then when we went in Skag, especially, they're like, okay, you know, it's got these stripes on it. We'll just call you Tony the Tiger. And I said, they were kidding around. And the fans went, absolutely not. You are the Sarge. We made you the Sarge, you know, and that's, I think every now and then I'll get someone in one of the military branches go, you never served. You're not the Sarge. I go, dude, I don't call me the Sarge. I didn't walk around telling everyone I was the Sarge. Everyone in the Army called me. They labeled that. And it was truly in respect for the sergeant in the Army, right? That's what we were recruiting, you know, the enlisted soldier. We were paying our respect to them. So when it caught on like that, I mean, that is an insanely good nickname. Everywhere I go, when I tell you, people in the mall will come up to me, they always say Sarge, you know, and it's not 10 people. It's just one, two, you know, it's a person here and they're going, great race last week, Sarge, but that's what they know me as. So to make a change, you know, early on this year, Megan said, hey, we should change your nickname. And we put it out there and people are like, absolutely not. There's just no, you are the Sarge. We don't care what you call yourself anymore. We're calling you the Sarge. And I thought that's cool. That's a big honor for me because, you know, it's millions and millions of people that have served in our country. And that was the name of the car. That's what they see me as. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. Again, it's a great nickname and it's great to have you back, Tony, in the series, in an HRA. And I can't wait to see when that first win is going to come for you guys, because I know it's going to be awesome.
And soon.
And soon. Tony, I appreciate the time so much. Thank you.
Very well.
And there you have it. We laughed a ton during this interview, as I said, about not judging a book by its cover. Because again, I think when you look at Tony Schumacher, you see this big, tough, burly guy that drives an 11,000 horsepower top fuel dragster. But then you start talking to him and you just have so much fun. You don't, at least to me, you don't expect what you get maybe when you're interacting with Tony, because he's such a wonderful personality, so kind and easygoing and engaging. And again, that's on me. I judged a book by its cover. But I had so much fun with this interview. Tony seemed like he was having a blast. Again, we laughed a ton. I appreciated his honesty and how he could just speak about death and dying and I don't want to hit a wall. And just the way, again, that he presented that was absolutely fantastic. So I appreciate Tony coming on the podcast for the very first time. And I appreciate Allison McCormick for helping coordinate and getting Tony and I together to make it happen. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Again, I hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as I enjoyed recording it with Tony Schumacher. Please leave a rating and review to let me know what you think. You can also do that on social media. Go to Twitter. My handle is @KellyCrandall. You can find a public Facebook page where you can get engage with me there. Make sure you find the public page. That is where you'll see links to racer.com as well as the podcast. And you can also follow me on Instagram as well if you want to interact on there. I hope by now you've hit the subscribe and or follow button so that you'll be ready to have a brand new episode in your feed every Monday morning. And again, always welcome to ratings and reviews. Let me know what you think of this episode or any of them that you may have been listening to recently in the archive. I hope you also go check out Patreon, get caught up with what we're doing over there. It is Monday, it's a new podcast day, which means it is new day on Patreon to drop some show notes and let everybody know more about this episode, about Tony, and going into the interview. Patreon.com/KellyCrandall. There's different tiers you can take a look at, different access that you will get if you sign up. The link for Patreon is also in the show description of this episode, so I hope you will go check that out. And with that, let's wrap up this episode, episode 226. Next week, we are back in NASCAR. We're going to go atop the pit box with one of the best, a veteran of the sport, Kevin Bono Mannion, currently of Spire Motorsports, but he's been all over the place, and he's won races with many different drivers, has quite the career and history to talk about, and we're going to dig in and just scratch the surface next week with Bono. I hope you'll join me then right here on the Racing Writers Podcast.